Welcome to the Brew News Podcast, all the news that's fit to be brewed. I'm Andrew Jennings.
And I'm Travis Matherly. And today, we'll be continuing our Haunted Hop series for the month of October with an episode on cryptids.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, what exactly is a cryptid?
A cryptid is a not real creature that we like to believe. It's not a mythological creature. It's usually based more in some sort of folk legend. Think like your Bigfoot.
Or Man-Bear-Pig.
Yeah. And so it's a creature we want to think exists. We think there's evidence and proof of it. It falls under the category of cryptozoology. I'm not a cryptozoologist. I am a zoologist. So I deal in facts. Cold, hard.
There's actually a branch of zoology dedicated to mythical creatures.
It's not real. It's something that people do.
Made up.
Yeah, there's literally a made-up branch of zoology to look at made-up creatures.
Aliens.
No, that's different. That's
I was just thinking of the guy from the History Channel with the crazy hair that's like, aliens.
Aliens. Yeah. No, that's a different group of crazies. We won't get into
it. They're all together, though. They believe that Bigfoot was abducted by aliens, or maybe Bigfoot is an alien.
No, because that's more like
Phobia?
Not xenophobia, because that's fear of aliens. No, it's like xenology or something like that. It's like the study of the other.
Alienologist.
Yeah, it's not real, but aliens probably are real. But
you can make up all the Greek you want, or right. All the Latin you want, and doesn't make it real.
Yeah, and that's what these creatures are. They're not real, for the most part. Or are they?
No.
They're cryptic. That's where the cryptid comes from, is they're cryptic. They're hard to find.
They're secret. Cryptic makes me think of a crypt.
Oh, no, they're not dead.
Or cryptic, like a message, so it's a coded message.
Yes.
These are coded creatures.
Coded creatures. They identify as real, whereas the rest of us identify them as fake.
Yes. So that said, should we drink a beer first or go straight into the notes?
Let's jump into the notes a little bit about this guy, and then we'll get into, when we talk about the specifics, we'll get into the beer.
The specifics.
Yeah. So
you're going to have to be a little more specific.
I'll work on that.
Actually, talking about the Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
Pacific. We can start there. The Pacific Northwest. Brings us to our first category of hairy hominids.
Just me.
No. So these are creatures, hairy hominids, which are found in nearly every culture with a variety of names. So the most common, Bigfoot / Sasquatch, is North American. And that has a couple of local variations. Here in the southeastern U.S., where we are in North Carolina, they refer to it as a skunk ape.
Skunk ape. He's usually a little smaller.
That just makes me think of grape ape.
Like the Magilla Gorilla type thing?
Yeah, like you just say, skunk ape.
I don't know. That's just donkey.
So it's specific to the swamps in the southeastern U.S. And then you also have the, and we argued over the Mongolian monster.
Yep. And that's part of the Mongolian rim in Arizona.
Mongoloids.
It's not Mongoloids. It's different. but that's in Arizona. And then one of my favorite versions is the Boojum.
Isn't there a Boojum brewing?
Yeah. I went around and tried to get beer for that, from them. And no one in Greensboro carries it anymore because they don't distribute. So Gate City used to get it.
I was going to say, I think Gate City had Boojum brewing for a long time.
They did. And I went there and they said, yeah, we don't do it anymore because we have to drive like past Asheville to get it. It's like, we can get so much other beer without having to go anywhere. It's not worth it. I'm like, fair enough.
Yeah, that's completely fair. But that is specific to the Great Smoky Mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee.
Yeah. And the Boojum he's weird. He's not really like this sort of ape-like creature. The Boojum, legend of the Boojum is more like he's an old loner man looking for his wife that's like immortal. It's weird.
It's a hermit?
Sort of. He's like, he's the...
What was that show on, gosh darn it, was it Discovery Channel or History Channel for... The Legend of Mick Dodge.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it was this guy that's pretty much lived in the woods for like 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Like he was a Vietnam vet. And then when he came back from the war, he just like went off the grid and moved into the mountains.
Oh.
And yeah, he just essentially lives in the forest.
Yeah, that's new to me. Don't know that one. but yeah, the Boojum's like of these creatures, the Boojum is the most advanced, the most close to human in terms of like its intelligence.
We went from a skunk monkey hybrid to a monster of some description.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to another hominid.
Yeah, he's very hominid. Hominid-like.
Maybe he's Cro-Magnon.
Hominid.
What was the one right before Homo sapien? Homo erectus?
Homo neanderthalus was around the same time.
Maybe he's just a leftover Neanderthal.
I mean, Homo erectus would have been the I believe that's the direct precursor to Homo sapiens. The Homo Neanderthalus was an offshoot than sapiens.
Anyway,
you got
now that Andrew's off in the weeds. Let's move on to the next category of hairy hominid, and that brings us to our first beer, the Yeti or Mete or Abominable Snowman.
The abominable snowman
or a bumble.
Bumbles bounce though.
They do.
This beer does not bounce.
No.
All right, so this
is going to bounce us on our ass.
It is. This is our this is a Great Divide Yeti Imperial Stout. It comes in cans. It was put there by a man in a factory downtown.
It was.
Sorry.
I was looking for notes on the beer, and we have zero.
We have notes. Yeti Imperial Stout. It's an onslaught of the senses. It starts with big, roasty malt flavor that gives way to rich caramel and toffee notes. Yeti gets its bold hop character from an enormous quantity of American hops. It weighs in at a hefty 75 IBUs. Three-time medal winner at the GABF, and it's 9.5% alcohol.
Yep.
I hid the notes.
Yeah, you did. They weren't bolded. I couldn't find them.
This is my first time with this beer.
I've had Yeti... So seeing it in cans is different because this is like one of Eric's favorite beers.
Oh, okay.
And it used to only come in bombers that I'm aware of. And so they have like chocolate Yeti, espresso Yeti.
Chai.
Yeah, which you said you almost picked up, which I'm thankful you didn't because I'm not a fan of chai.
I didn't think we needed a bomber of it.
It smells chocolatey. It smells a little boozy. It's very thin head on the rim. Fairly tight little bubble structure.
Yeah. It tastes a lot like that coffee we just drank. There's a lot more chocolate on it.
Ooh, yeah. That's a little bitter.
I'm not sure how I feel about that mouth, like that back end.
It's very thin.
Yeah, it doesn't coat well.
I think that's a hoppy bitterness in there, which 75 IBUs for an Imperial Stout is pretty strong.
That's pretty hot. And it tastes hot, too. Like, this is not a beer that'll sneak up on you. You're not going to, like, drink a 12-pack of this.
No, you're going to have one or two of these.
Yeah, and then you're going to know it.
It starts out very good stouty, but it's not a chewy stout. It's a very thin, watery stout.
Reminds me a little bit of my homebrew that I made because it starts and like the flavors are there, but the mouth is not. And that's what this feels like.
Well, let's finish up some of the hairy hominids here before we talk about this beer more specifically. You also have the Yowie in Australia, the Almas in Central Asia and Mongolia, Barmano, which is the mountains of Pakistan and Afghanistan.
The Chuchunya?
Yeah.
Chuchunya? I don't speak Russian. From Siberia.
Chichuchna.
Chichuchna. Yeah, probably. The Batutut, which are the forest people. They're from Vietnam, Laos, and Borneo.
That one wins for my favorite name, the Batutut.
Batutut. The Orang Mikyak, or the Oily Man from Malaysia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
The Mapinguari from South America, and the Maricoxi, also from South America.
Yeah, that one's in the Amazon. The one Oily Man in Malaysia just makes me think more of Swamp Thing.
Oily Man.
But all these legends are pretty much, what do they have in common? They are most associated with mountain settings, the exception being the Batutut and the Maricoxi in the Amazon jungle, which those are living dense jungle creatures. So those may be Green Man's.
Yeah. No, Green Man is more like a North American thing.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's also like a Celtic sort of situation.
Yeah. But the general appearance of these creatures is typically considered to be bipedal humanoid shape, very hairy, very large. Most are considered to be 7 feet or larger.
Yeah, some of your exceptions there are the Batututs and the skunk ape. Both of those are usually going to be like around 3 to 5 feet.
In baby height. Bigfoots.
Baby feet. Little feets.
Yeah, little feets.
Colors, the biggest difference is color. And typically, their coloration is going to match what you would expect for the area. So, Abominable Snowman, Yeti, you expect it to be white.
Like a polar bear.
Like a polar bear. Or a different kind of bear we'll get to in a minute. If it's Sasquatch, you're expecting it to be brown because that's what's found in those forests are brown creatures.
Yeah, and some brown, some black, and some red. Typically, color is based upon where the legend sprung up because it matches the local flora and fauna.
Yeah, and like the red one, the Oily Man and the Batutut are usually red. You know what's found in those areas?
Clay.
Orangutans.
So it's just like a giant ass orangutan.
Yeah, it's probably just a giant ass orangutan.
Somebody got scared by an orangutan.
Orangutans are big, man.
They like, are. They're a lot bigger than you would think they are.
Yeah. I mean, they're short, much shorter than I am, but they weigh significantly more.
They're very dense. They're compact.
And then you get like a big male with like all the crazy long hair they have.
Yeah.
And like their arm spans like.
And they're strong too.
Oh, they're strong. Did you see the man versus animal when it was a sumo wrestler doing a tug of war with an orangutan? The orangutan just was sitting down and pulls this like 340-pound sumo wrestler over.
Man, you put one of those against like World's Strongest Man and see what happens.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. I mean, the hard part would be getting the animal to do what you need it to do.
Yeah. But if you, I'm sure if you put something there like had a half Thor of the Mountain Bjornsson on one side pulling and then an orangutan on the other, because I wouldn't put it up against the silverback gorilla because...
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. So like...
Tug of war.
Tug of war? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Silverbacks would be fun just to watch.
But that would just not be fair to the person.
To the person. Oh, gosh. All right. So let's talk about the legend of the Yeti in particular. We're not going to get into the specifics of the Sasquatch, but since we're drinking Yeti beer... Let's dive into the Yeti.
So, the specific legend of the Yeti or Abominable Snowman comes from the... I hated
typing that out.
Abominable Snowman. The Abdominal Snowman is probably what you were wanting to type the whole time.
So shredded. Mm-hmm. Shredded like a block of cheeks.
comes from the Himalayan mountains, and they are, like we said earlier, considered to be taller than a human. And there's a lot of different names for the Yeti. Mm-hmm. We said the Mete... Michi, which is man bear.
Yeah, it literally translates as man bear.
Zute, which is cattle bear. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Like a bear cow?
I don't know. A cow, a bear that eats cows? I don't know.
Migoy or Migo, which is wild man. And the Boon Manchi, jungle man. Merka, wild man. Or Kang Admi, which is snowman.
Right. And a lot of these are going to come from like the native Tibetan Nepalese people and the Indian mountains, as well as people living in northern India. So these languages are not.
Is Pakistan around there too?
Yeah, but not. They're not really. They're a little further to the east. If maps. If memory.
West.
You're right. West.
In Pakistan be towards the west. Yeah.
Pakistan is definitely west. the first instance of the Abominable Snowman's name is actually a mistranslation. It was coined by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hayward Bury. He is British in 1921.
He was British in 1921. 1922, he decided to become German.
Yes. He joined the Weimar Republic in 1922.
He was part of the British Mount Everest Reconnaissance Expedition. Mm-hmm. Saw a footprint in the snow he believed were probably caused by a large loping?
Yeah, loping.
Gray wolf. Which in the soft snow formed double tracks, rather like those of a barefooted man.
Right. So I find this interesting with a lot of cryptids, is often the first instance of something being found, the person gets it right. Like in this case, he doesn't believe there's a man, bear, pig running around trying to kill.
Oh man, that's a huge wolf.
It's a big wolf that, like with snow, like it was slowly moving, so it had both paw prints in one track, so it looked double long.
Its back paw landed in the hole that its front paw was in.
Right. And it drug it through, so it looks like it's a long human's or long bear's foot.
With defined toes.
Right. Or like the claws and everything. It's
little toe beans.
Yeah. They're so cute. But yeah, so it's fascinating to me because like he gets it right, and a couple other like original cryptid visuals, they get it right off the jump. But then people like take it and run with it.
His Sherpas, however. had a different interpretation entirely.
Yeah, because they said that the tracks might be that of the wild man of the snows, which they called Mito Kangmi.
Mito, as we said, being man bear, and Kangmi being snowman, so it's a man bear snowman.
It's not quite a man bear pig, but just getting there.
I'm just imagining like a actual snowman that also looks like a man bear. Or is it a man bear that's just covered in snow?
Carrot nose and the coal buttons.
So this tale became popular in Western culture in the 19th century, with many governments have sent missions out to track and find the Yeti. Typically, they come back with fur that is from a now extinct Himalayan bear.
Yep. So whenever they bring back, nowadays, when they bring back evidence of the Yeti, they run it through DNA, and it's a bear. It's almost always a bear. Sometimes it's a yak. Sometimes it's
a man bear.
It's never a man bear. It's never been a man bear. however, prior to the 19th century, so a lot of this came before Bury did his exploration. But prior to the 19th century, Yeti was a part of the pre-Buddhist beliefs of several of the Himalayan peoples. In most cases, the Yeti was a glacier being, which sounds awesome, and was worshipped as a god of the hunt. So, like if you know your Greek myths, like Artemis, like he's being worshipped because he's helpful for finding and killing things.
The Bon peoples.
Bon me?
Yeah, Bon me. The Bon peoples believed the blood of the mere god, Wild Man, had uses in mystical ceremonies, and he was often depicted as ape-like with a large stone weapon. The first quote-unquote official sighting by a Westerner was in 1832 by B.H. Hodgson, who saw a tall bipedal creature covered in long dark hair which seemed to flee in fear, promptly concluding that it was an orangutan.
Yet again, first sighting gets it right from the jump.
And the first recorded footprints were found in 1899 by Lawrence Waddell.
That's on me.
Who we will never know what happened because Andrew stopped his note in the middle of the sentence.
That's on me. But why is this legend so pervasive? Like, it's in the Himalayan mountains. Everest is one of the biggest tourist traps in the world right now these days. You get hundreds of people, thousands of people going climbing it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we care about this legend? Why is this still a thing? And why are they so pervasive in all cultures, not just in the Himalayas? a lot of these are actually relatively new. Like Bigfoot, for example, didn't start appearing until the mid-1900s. We didn't start talking about it. We didn't think he was real until the 1900s. We got a lot of renewed speculation in these legends in the 1950s, actually, with the famous Abominable Snowman photo, footprint photo that you've probably seen. That looks like this is like a big foot photo in the snow. Like I don't know
that I've ever seen that.
Oh, okay. I'll find it later.
Yeah. Most of these legends are essentially a wild man or non-civilized version of humans. They're so pervasive amongst native peoples that these groups generally do not question the existence of a Bigfoot type creature. It's just believed to be true.
Yeah. If you go to find like a native group somewhere, if you're like in the Amazon, they believe in a Bigfoot thing.
I think it just goes to speak that people are afraid of what goes bump in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Inherently, like genetically, yeah. Biologically. We wanted to believe in these wild man type creatures, possibly to assuage our guilt for what we did to other humans, or possibly to compare ourselves to it.
Yeah, we want to feel better. Like, oh yeah, we're more civilized. We're more advanced than the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Or we're doing it because we feel guilty of what we did to like the gorillas or what we've done to other humans. Like we feel there's like a guilt there and we want to believe there's something pure like the Bigfoot out there.
Yeah. So we have a few options of what these could be. Option one, it could be a new species altogether. Homo sasquatchus.
Homo sasquatchus, baby.
Perhaps Andrew, I think, just made up his own thing.
I did not.
On the official Bigfoot website.
Probably is somewhere. I spent a summer with a guy who believes in Bigfoot. I learned way too much about Bigfoot.
Mm.
That's why I'm glad I didn't do Bigfoot.
The second option is native peoples, most certainly true for the Maricoxi, as they were described as a hairy creature that hunted in groups and used tools such as a bow and arrow. So it's like could be like a undiscovered tribe,
right?
In a jungle or something.
Most likely a Westerner, like, or a people group finds a native group and just misappropriates. It's dark.
That they didn't know about. Right. Yeah.
It's dark. It's possible that they're hunting. They're wearing like things to break up their, What's this
ghillie suit. Outline?
Yeah, like essentially a ghillie suit. And then option three is it's something that is living. It's an extant species. So it's like the bears.
I just really thought you misspelled extinct there for a second.
Yeah, extant species. Most likely a bear, primate of some sort. In the case of the Yeti, it's usually going to be a Himalayan bear. There's a couple of species of bear that live in the Himalayas. That's usually what it is.
Yeah.
So, Travis, do you believe in the Bigfoot?
No.
No?
Not even remotely.
Oh.
Do you?
No, actually not. There's no way with modern technology and the creep of human advancement, there's only one of these creatures that we're going to cover today that I think has a shot at existing.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the next one.
I was going to say, I actually think I know which one you're talking about you believe exists.
I want to believe it, but I don't think it does. Truly, though, Bigfoot is not real. Like, there's no way with all the modern technology, phones, photographs, we could get actual evidence that this thing is existing if it did. And there's also nothing in the fossil record that would indicate it exists. The closest thing the closest thing that ever existed to what we call Bigfoot is the ground sloth. That's like a 9 foot tall sloth that walks
around. Good lord.
Yeah, those things are massive.
It's huge.
Yeah, the ground sloth did exist at the same time that humans came across across Alaska and into North America. It's a native North American.
The land bridge.
Yeah, across the land bridge. And they're big creatures. That's the closest thing you have to an actual Bigfoot existing.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting enough. Now that we've squashed the rumor of Sasquatches.
Got it. Oh, there it is.
Now that we've squashed them.
Should we drink a beer before we go into our next creature?
Yeah, let's go ahead and drink a beer.
Because this is a good like transitional
yes.
creature.
So for our next beer in our cryptid series, we are going to be having the Rogue Batsquatch.
Batsquatch!
Hazy IPA from Rogue Brewing out of Oregon. Mm-hmm. This is a 6.7% ABV, 54 IBU Hazy IPA. For years, rumors have circled that deep in the woods of Mount St. Helens lives the fabled Batsquatch.
Batsquatch.
While there are many tales of Batsquatch, they are all a bit hazy on the details, which makes the truth such a juicy mystery. Man, they are really going for it.
This is if I wrote this copy.
Yeah. So what better way to honor the elusive legend than with a hazy IPA? Perfect for camping and potentially making a new friend, this juicy, cloudy IPA features intense tropical flavors and aromas. It is brewed with two-row malt, flaked wheat, malted wheat and oats, Mosaic, El Dorado, and Belma hops. Never heard of Belma.
I haven't either.
Imperial juice yeast and free-range coastal water. Free-range water?
Free-range water.
It's as important. Opposed to being kept in a cage?
Right. It's cage-free water.
Water wasn't held at gunpoint and forced to lay eggs.
Correct. It's very good water. It's finest water.
That is a little dank. It's like a little bit of rotten fruit, almost.
A little bit. Like, it's too sweet.
Yeah, you can just smell it. That's going to be sweet. Andrew's already drinking it.
Oh, no. I was saying, it's not as sweet on the back end that I was afraid of.
It smells oaty.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thoughts?
Opinions? I don't think I like that.
Oh, well, I'll make sure Laura gets some because she actually wanted some of this.
Okay. She can have that. Yeah. Oh, that is odd. So that is, it's definitely hazy. It has a little bit of head. It's decently carbonated. Decently. It could be more carbonated. That would actually probably help it a little bit. But it kind of almost tastes like really, it's not that juicy. It tastes like orange juice with like wheat paste in it.
That's not ideal.
No, that is not. Gosh darn it. That is not good. I don't know how else to put that.
Not good is a good way to describe this beer.
Yeah, it's
I could see.
You know how a lot of people like claim that they put flour in hazy IPAs? Mm-hmm. Like, just talking junk. Like, that's literally what that tastes like, though. Mm,
yeah. All right. Well, why did we choose the Batsquatch? Because it's a transitional creature from the Bigfoot to the bloody goat sucker, the Chupacabra.
La Chupacabra.
Yeah. Travis, what do you know about the Chupacabra?
It's a Mexican creature that eats goats.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the
It sucks on goats.
It sucks on goats.
It's actually based off of a vampire bat, though, right?
So, yeah, that's why we picked the Batsquatch, because that's a vampire bat head.
Uh-huh.
On the can.
A vampire bat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vampire bat mixed with a Sasquatch.
All right. Do you know when the Chupacabra was first found?
I do. It was in, drumroll please, 1995 in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Not in Mexico.
Yeah, well, that's okay. The Chupacabra legend is really pretty much all, like, Latin America, all the islands, parts of the southeast U.S., Mexico, they're all covered there.
Chupacabra is actually really new.
Yeah, 95.
95. We were already 6 years old.
I was six.
That.
I was eight.
But Andrew's old.
I'm such an old man. But yeah, 1995. March of 95 was the first reported attack and sighting of the Chupacabra.
The name literally translates to goat sucker.
Goat sucker.
So the only sightings have been seen in the Caribbean islands, Central America, South America, Mexico, and the U.S., which I'm assuming is the South American Southwest, probably.
Also a lot of Florida and like Louisiana, like that.
That's just Florida is just some guy on bath salts running around that they think is,
You wouldn't be too far off. There was actually even a Chupacabra sighting in India in 2018. So, Chupacabra's like hopping on planes. He's flying all over the place, like doing his thing. He's like, I'm Chupa. What's up?
It's an invasive species. So what is a goat sucker? Their first reported attack occurred in March of 1995. Farmers came out to find 8 sheep dead with 3 puncture wounds each, and the sheep were supposedly drained of blood.
Supposedly.
You have to put in the supposedly.
Actually, yes. In this case, the farmer... Actually, I think we'll cover that later. Yeah, we'll cover that in a minute. But what does Choopy look like? I'm calling him Choopy.
You put in an interesting picture there in the notes that I have no idea what that is.
So the original eyewitness, Madeline Tolentino, described the creature that looked exactly like the creature from the movie Species.
Never saw it.
I didn't either, but that's what this is. It's the creature from Species.
That looks like a lizard thing, almost. That looks like a really cheesy leather suit.
It is.
That has been very cheaply painted.
It probably was.
This looks like it's probably a B horror movie.
I think it was an A horror movie at the time.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so Madeline admits that the film greatly impacted her recollection of what the Chupacabra looked like.
She had just literally watched that movie, walked outside, and was like, oh my God, that thing. Species. It's out in my backyard.
But usually it's going to be considered hairless or sometimes covered in scales with spines running along the back. And it's usually about 3 to 4 feet tall.
Often seen... seen quote unquote moving like a kangaroo, so it's a Komodo dragon with stegosaurus spines that moves like a kangaroo.
Yeah, it's got hops.
Unlike this beer.
This beer's got plenty, but
this beer is being dominated by the malt bill.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so what is it? Why is it? And why is it such a new legend? Most likely, Chupacabra is nothing more than just a mangy dog or coyote.
Yeah, I really thought they were based off of vampire bats.
No, not at all.
Damn.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So mangy dogs or coyotes mange or some other skin infection would create a hairless animal. If the dog is malnourished, the spine ridges would be clearly visible, giving a spiny appearance.
Yep. Dogs and coyotes have also been known to attack and kill livestock, so even that first reported attack was probably a group of dogs that did, or coyotes, that did in fact kill the livestock.
Coyotes.
But then they got scared when someone opened the door or something. Now, why they were drained of blood? When an animal dies...
It bleeds out.
But beyond that, if you're slaughtering an animal, you're used to like killing it fresh and then blood coming everywhere. So these are usually farmers that see these things, so they're used to blood popping everywhere. Now, they go out and see an animal that's lying in their field that's dead, and they cut it open, and blood doesn't spurt. So they assume the blood has been drained from the animal.
Well, it doesn't have a heartbeat anymore, so that's why blood doesn't spurt.
Well, that too, and gravity is not your friend, because what's happened is a lot of that time that gravity has pulled the blood to the bottom of the animal, like to the feet or to...
That's called pooling.
Right. So it's not where they cut it.
That's called edema, actually.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, pooling, yes.
Good old... me not knowing that.
Good old... EMT medical knowledge there.
Yeah. So in that case, the farmers think that they're drained of blood when in fact the blood's just in the hooves. Like that's where it is. Why are we getting so many though? Like why is Choopy such a big thing in the last 25 years, 30 years? Probably urban encroachment mostly. People don't know what a mangy coyote looks like. So they're like, oh, it's Chupacabra. Oh, look, Choopy. But it's not.
People who are scared because they've never seen a deer before or any other kind of wild animal.
Yeah.
So is the Chupacabra a true monster or just a misunderstood pupper?
He's a misunderstood pupper.
I can't imagine that there's actually a beast like that running around. And that's also the thing with a lot of these legends. Like, people have been around for so long that there is almost zero chance that there is no part of the earth that we haven't been on yet explored.
Like the deep parts of the ocean.
Well, that. Yeah. I mean, land.
Yeah. Land masses.
We've pretty much been everywhere and seen everything. And if you haven't run into something yet, probably doesn't exist.
Especially something this size. Like, if it was a cryptid and it was, like, the size of a mouse, I can believe that. I can't believe something Ellie size.
Or bigger.
Yeah, or bigger.
Like a Sasquatch.
Yeah, Squatch, there's no way.
It's really hard to hide when you're 7 feet tall.
Right. At least with the Squatch, usually it's, like, areas that are really dense or hard to explore or, like, very large tracts of land.
But Chupacabra, you would think like that would be something that would be from like Native American times.
Right. But even beyond that, like Chupi is like, you know, dog size on an island like Puerto Rico. One, how did it get there? And two,
It's an island.
It's an island. There's not a lot of space for
Chupi to run. It's not a great island.
Yeah.
It's not a big island.
There's not like space for Chupi to run. Like no. Chupi doesn't, he's not real. He's just a mangy dog.
Yeah. He's just probably a dog with mange and rabies.
Yeah. And I'm going to get a dog with mange and call it Chupi. I'm going to drop it off at your place. I'll shave it. It'll be mangy.
No so dogs.
You won't have fur.
Yeah. No dogs. Hairless. Hairless cats.
All right. So that brings us to our last group. And let's get the beer first.
All right.
But actually,
if I can find it,
I don't know if I did.
You hit it. Nope. There it is.
Oh, I did it. Okay. Cool.
That brings us to our beer.
Yeah. Our final beer of the night, and our final group of creatures. We're doing lake dwelling leviathans.
The leviathan. Yes. That's always a good name.
It is. So our beer for this is going to be the Catawba Brewing Hopness Monster IPA.
Yep. Catawba Brewing is based out of Asheville, North Carolina. It is a Hopness Monster IPA. It's 6.5% ABV, 60 IBUs. This is described as citrus and cascade hops with two-row, caramel, and flaked wheat. Our Blue Ridge Mountains harbor their own Nessie, Hoppius Hedius, the Hopness Monster. She lurks in the cold, fresh waters of western North Carolina, rising to terrorize poor, hop-shy souls. As the locals say, bless their hearts, they don't know any better. With an abundance of fresh citra and cascade, this IPA boasts a big, biting hop profile with notes of tropical fruit, juicy citrus, and pine. Embrace her beastly charms.
This is a weird beer.
This, I feel like they really are going whole hog with these descriptions on these beers.
You would be shocked at how hard it is to find beers that match cryptids, though. Like, the Bigfoot from Sierra Nevada, you have the Yeti from Great Divide,
yeah.
Hopness Monster.
Oh, well, we've done Bigfoot before. Yeah, I was going to say, that would have been so easy. Also, the narwhal,
but that's real.
That's a real
creature.
Although it's based on is that what gave way to unicorns?
No, unicorns are actually most likely derived from a freak deer accident. There's occasionally you get deers that grow a single horn instead of the dual antlers, they grow a single antler.
Ah, like the Grinch's dog when he straps the antler to it in the movie.
Yeah.
So this smells much better than the Bat Squatch.
I like the nose on this. This is clear. It's more or less clear.
So I've been to Catawba Brewing. Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
This is more or less a West Coast IPA.
Catawba is also next to my new favorite barbecue joint in Nashville, Buxton Hall Barbecue.
Oh, that's a different. I haven't been to that one. I went to the one over in Biltmore.
No, this is the one downtown, near Twin Leaf and all of that.
Oh yeah.
And Burial.
The last time we went, we didn't go to that part of downtown Nashville.
Man, that tastes good.
It's especially better than the Bat Squatch. No offense, Rogue.
All the offense, Rogue. I don't think anybody from Rogue's listening to our podcast.
If they are, drop us a line. You can email us at...
If you'd like to defend your beer.
Defend yourself in the comments below.
Yeah. Send us more beer so that we can try it and judge you. No, this actually, the hop character is pretty good. I like that.
It's not as bitter. This would be
It's not as bitter, but it's still bitter enough for an IPA. It is a little juicy.
It's tasty.
That is more citrusy than tropical for me, though. That is more of that orange zest, orange pith type thing going on. I like that. There's not a ton on the nose, though.
You got a decent amount of like
pine.
Yeah, I was going to say plant stuff.
It is a little green on the nose, like pine, a little resiny.
I may have to start keeping this around the house. I like that.
Is this a year round from
there? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I was looking for Lake Erie Monster. Would have been a good one for this section.
The Erie Canal.
Well, we're going to talk about it in a minute. But, like, I couldn't find that because that's a seasonal by Great Lakes.
Yeah.
I also couldn't get their Nosferatu for next week, but we'll talk about that later.
Darn it.
All right. So, most popular... So, we're talking about lake monsters, obviously, at this point.
We transitioned off the Chupacabra.
Off Chupi. So, we're on to Nessie now. But most popular lake monsters are commonly found in northern lakes, so northern latitude lakes, usually Scotland, Canada, and the U.S., but there are lake monsters throughout the world.
What?
Yep. Saw that many of these legends are originally based on water kelpies, an old Scottish legend of shape-shifting water spirits that inhabit lochs.
The Lady of the Lake.
Yes.
Clad in shimmering samite.
Until she gets you in and then she eats you.
With fava beans. Is that a succubus?
We'll talk about that next week.
No, I was quoting Monty Python.
Oh, I don't...
King Arthur and the Lady of the Lake, clad in the most shimmering samite, came from the lake and bequeathed to him Excalibur.
I don't remember that. this part.
That's when he's having the argument with the peasant.
Oh.
That no, Dennis, that knows all about government.
Oh, yes. Yes. Poor Dennis. I think a representative of democracy.
Oh, now you see the violent inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
All right. Before we delve into our headliner, there's a couple of monsters that are pretty famous, depending on where you are, where you're located.
Oh, the Scottish legend, shape-shifting water spirit, would be more like a siren.
Yeah, like a siren.
Kind of that eats you after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So some of the less famous beasties are the Flathead Lake Monster, shockingly found in Flathead Lake.
In Montana.
In Montana, yes. The, the wild place of Montana. It's a Native American legend. This is weird. So the Flathead Lake Monster, as it's known today, is completely different than the Native American legend that there's a monster that lives in the lake. Native American legend is there's an antler sticking out of the frozen lake one winter. And these two girls from this tribe go out and they start messing with the antler. And
just grabbing it and jiggling it.
Yeah, like they're trying to pull it out. They think it's a deer or something. They're trying to pull it out to save.
Yeah, that would be the most likely thing. A deer got in the water, died, the lake froze, the right. antler is sticking out right. of the lake in the shallows.
Turns out it was, according to the legend, it was like some bigger like monster that had magical powers, and it came out and it destroyed their entire tribe.
So how did anybody live to tell the tale?
It killed like most of the tribe. I think the two girls survived.
The one that got
yeah,
away.
Yeah, the one that got away. But that was so weird to me. I I don't understand what's going on with this legend. And that was it. The legend just ended.
It was like the fish in the deep sea that has the dangler.
Yeah, it has
the little dingle dangle.
But the modern lake monster, Lake Tahoe, Flathead Lake Monster, is just a giant whale creature, supposedly.
It's an inland whale.
It's not real.
Yeah, no. The next one would be Tahoe Tessie. It is obviously from Lake Tahoe, Nevada, California. It is also Native American in origin. This is described to be between 10 and 80 feet long. That is a really big discrepancy.
Yep.
With a large serpentine body. I think somebody just saw like a giant ass snake in a lake.
I don't even think that. I think it was seaweed.
Seaweed? It's a kelp monster.
Kelp monster. There's the...
I'm going to let you pronounce the next one.
Okay. I haven't practiced this, so I apologize if you're from South Africa. The Inkanyamba.
That's what I was going to... Inkanyamba.
Inkanyamba.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. So it's a legendary serpent found in the Zulu legend, and it's believed to have mystical weather-controlling powers. And it's found in Howick Falls, South Africa.
That doesn't sound like a place in South... Howick Falls.
Howick?
I don't know. Howick.
Howick?
Sounds like a town in Connecticut.
It sounds like some British people went to South Africa and renamed some stuff.
You mean the Dutch?
Well, they both did.
They all did. Yes.
Well, the Dutch...
Or South Africa.
The Dutch, the Germans, and the British. The British did it last.
So then you have the Lake Van Monster.
Lake Van Monster.
Which is Lake Van in Turkey. Supposedly, the monster killed a man in 1889, probably with a trident?
Yeah.
Question mark.
It's like a weird... Like, the Lake Van Monster is very weird because it's like more... Like
person?
Yeah, more person, more like Poseidon, less than anything.
Poseidon, the god of the sea, came out and stabbed a man with his trident. Yeah. Brick killed a guy.
With a trident.
There is a guy on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Yeah. The monster of Lake Tota, also Diablo Balena, a.k.a. the devil whale.
The devil whale.
Really, that's what it's just called.
Just a bad attitude whale.
Diablo Balena. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that wrong. Translates to Balena.
Balena. Double L's are Y's in Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish.
I don't either, but I know double L's are Y's.
I don't know what this.
That's why chicken is pollo. P-O-L-L-O.
Oh.
Pollo.
That's fair. Okay.
Diablo Balena.
Good. I'll let you handle the Spanish from now on.
Yeah. Lake Tota, Colombia.
It's described as a fish with a black head.
As a capital A fish.
Yeah, capital A fish. This is what happens when you copy paste. With a black head with an ox and larger than a whale.
And then you have Bessie, which is Lake Erie, Michigan, U.S. This is first seen in 1793. Snake-like in appearance, around 30 to 40 feet long and at least 1 foot in diameter.
If you know anything about snakes, if it's 30 feet long...
That's an anaconda.
Well, it's actually a retake, but yeah. Like, if it's 30 feet long, it's going to be more than a foot in diameter in its thickest. But if it's a foot long at its head, that's a big creature. Foot in diameter?
Yeah. You can eat a whole dog.
Mm.
Deer.
Not
a
Ellie.
Whole deer.
Not Ellie.
She's too quick.
She also would not be caught dead in the water. So.
Yeah.
There's the Memphrey from Lake Memphremagog, between Newport, Vermont, Vermont and Magog, Quebec.
Quebec.
It's often described to look a lot like Nessie.
And then you have Champ, which is the monster of Lake Champlain in Lake Champlain, Vermont. Over 300 career sightings. That's a staggering amount.
Honestly, it's one of the highest totals.
Yeah. The first sighting is attributed to Samuel de Champlain. However, he was describing a gar, not a plesiosaur.
Correct. Yeah. What he described is actually just a toothy fish called a gar. It's a long, toothy beaked fish.
They're mean.
They are, but
Champ is generally described as a long serpentine creature, with the largest claim being 187 feet in length.
For context, that's an 18-story building.
Good God. Just hiding in Lake Champlain. Although it is a giant lake.
But it's smaller than all of our Great Lakes.
And it's pretty shallow in a lot of places, because when we were in Vermont with Paige and Adam, like, I think Paige's mom was like, hey, could you... Like, her brother pulled up on the lake in his boat, and I mean, he literally had to anchor that thing 100 yards offshore, and they walked the length of a football field in. Oh my
gosh.
And I was like, why are they parked so far? And they're like, I walked out to his boat, and you are still only up to your waist where her mom lives. And I was like, man, I'm 100 yards out in the lake, and I'm up to my waist. Like, this is ridiculous.
The last couple we have are the Lariosauro. It's Lake Como, Italy. And this is one's fun. I like this one because it was actually named for the dinosaur that's supposed to be the Lariosaur. And it's undoubtedly a hoax, simply because sightings are extremely rare and the lake is super deep, which sort of gives the idea that it might be real.
410 feet deep, to be exact.
That's big. That's deep.
And then you have Ogopogo, aka Nataka, or in Okanagan Lake, British Columbia, 40 to 50 feet long sea serpent resembling a Basilosaurus or a Mosasaurus.
Wait, so to me, this is a weird creature because a sea serpent doesn't look anything like a Basilosaurus or a Mosasaurus. Mosasaurus, if you remember Jurassic World, that creature that eats the I-Rex at the end, that's a Mosasaur.
Oh, the thing that they had in like the SeaWorld tank comes up and eats the... T-Rex, Velociraptor hybrid thing.
Yeah, that is a Mosasaur. They have flippers. They have a long...
It's like a giant-ass whale.
Yeah, it's a giant whale.
It's like a whale shark.
It's a sperm whale.
Except not a whale shark, because whale sharks are real.
Correct, they are. it's
As I said that, I remember that was actually a real thing.
It's like a giant beaked whale. So think like a dolphin that's not fun and flippery, but murder. Like a murder
dolphin.
Murder dolphin.
Like a murder flipper.
There's the Lagerfjord worm, which is from Lagerfjord Lake, Iceland. And this is, it's a 40-foot long sea serpent-like creature, and it's occasionally seen out of the lake sunbathing.
Oh, alligator.
It's a snake.
The Morag, which is Lochmorar, Scotland.
Yep.
There are claims of attacks from Morag. Someone opened fire on the quote-unquote creature.
Yeah, they took a shotgun to it.
Somebody was just drunk. There they were. Firing at a damn fish. 25 to 30 feet long with three dorsal humps and a large head.
Yep. And that brings us, finally, we've gone around the world, and we're back to Scotland, and we're back to Nessie.
The OG.
Well, I don't know if she's the OG, but she's definitely the most well-known.
Yeah, she's the most famous.
Yeah. So this is the Loch Ness Monster, a.k.a. Nessie.
From Loch Ness, Scotland.
Mm-hmm. She's a plesiosaur in shape with a long neck, broad body, and paddles for limbs. So got the sort of like the paddly body, little short tail.
Got a big head, long neck, and little arms. Brought to the world's attention in 1933 in a photograph. There have been many searches to find Nessie over 10 expeditions. Since 1934, many of the modern ones included submersibles. The earliest reports of Nessie are from 565.
Yeah, this is Nessie. Nessie's been around. She's been around the block.
Mm-hmm.
So with Nessie in particular, I did, like, they've done a bunch of the sightings. Yeah,
like, they've sonared the lake. I've seen stuff on that.
It's a deep lake, so it's possible. But the real question is, could these wee beasties be real?
Like Lake Placid?
Yeah.
No.
So what a lot of these lakes have in common, why, like, Nessie can exist, even though we know it shouldn't.
The lore.
It is like we're talking about with Sasquatch. Like, the habitat is ideal for speculation.
Yeah, it's something that scares people inherently. So these lakes are typically very deep, naturally occurring lakes. They're at or near headwaters, many of them being glacially fed. Large lakes are difficult to search, and many large lakes like this contain large fish that could easily play tricks on the eyes. Like, for example, Smith Mountain Lake, which is not too far from here up in Virginia.
Yeah, and that's also a man-made lake, too.
Yeah, that's a man-made lake, but I've heard stories of, you know, like they actually have power lines that run through the bottom of the lake, and so they have to go down and be serviced. And there's guys that go down there that say, like, they've seen catfish so big down there that they will not go back down.
I've heard the same about one of the lakes in Greensboro on the P.D. Yadkin River.
Blues?
South. It's south of us. Yeah, but I've heard the same thing. Yeah. You hear that, like, these lakes, you get these monster creatures.
Yeah, just giant fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a habitat that big and that deep, it's possible that these fish can get huge. Mm-hmm. But to think that any lake, any one lake could sustain the appetite of a dinosaur.
Not just a dinosaur. It has to be a family of dinosaurs. They're not, I mean, Nessie, if Nessie's real, Nessie's not alone.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Nessie, she wouldn't have lived since 565.
Well, she wouldn't be alive since 65 million years ago. Like, she wouldn't still be, actually, most of the plesiosaur died out in the Jurassic period. So you're looking at like 180 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nessie had to be kicking for years and years and years and years and years, years prior to then,
yeah,
with a population. That lake, it's not big enough to support a pod of plesiosaur.
No, you'd run out of fishes.
All the fishes.
But is Nessie real? Like everything else we've said?
No.
No.
I'm so sad. I want Nessie to be real.
Yeah. It's highly unlikely that a creature that large could stay hidden in such a small body of water. Put that in perspective, Loch Ness is big, 22 square miles of surface and 755 feet deep. That is a deep-ass lake.
It is a big lake. It's not even, like, Lake Morag is actually, the Loch Morag is actually deeper. It's the deepest lake in Scotland. Loch Ness is the second deepest.
Yeah. But a creature that large would have a hard time even hiding in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's also there with the theories of, like, Megalodon still being alive and all of that crap.
It would be extremely unlikely that something that big we haven't found.
Mm. And then Andrew has a little clip art that has a little Nessie-type creature and says, the important thing is that I believe in myself.
That's for all you cryptids out there. The important thing to believe is, as long as you believe in yourself, you're real.
Yeah. So with that, we've come to the end of our Haunted Hop episode on cryptids. This is our third installment of our October series on Haunted Hops. We hope you guys enjoyed it, learned a little something about fake monsters.
Yeah. Follow us on, we won't have any tasting notes on this, but we might put some notes about the legends on our website, brewnewspod.com. If you're with a brewery or you know a little bit about brewing, you want to join us, send us an email at brewnewspod@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at @brew_news or Instagram, which Travis mainly handles that one.
Yeah, at @brewnewspod. You can find us on Untappd. Andrew is at Tuba Steve and I'm at Mathernuts.
You can support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
We also have our great new logo. We're working on getting some merch up for you guys so you guys can wear your rock your Brew News crew gear whenever you're feeling it.
Yeah. And as always, we thank you guys for your support and tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this one and our series in Haunted Hop so far. And we'll see you next week for our last installment in our Haunted Hop series on spooky beasts.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Have you ever wondered how you could join the Brew News crew? Well, swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod and you can join us. We have three different tiers for all of our patrons. At the lager level, you earn early access to all of our podcast episodes. At the IPA level, you get early access to our podcast episodes, but you get special weekly beer tastings that are done by various members of the crew. And you get special video presentations, including our Beermas special. At the stout level, you get everything you get at the IPA level, but you also get to appear on one episode of the Brew News Pod, and when we have some swag, we'll send some your way. So feel free to swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod. That again is patreon.com/brewnewspod, and join the crew.